This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go. Many times. All right, good morning to you. On a Tuesday morning, about 3 weeks from opening day for the Phils. And boy, 6 days away from Eagles free agency, and it's already gotten real as Darius Slay shown the door. All right, good morning. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. We got Ruben here in studio, a man who knows.
Good morning.
What it is like to win a championship and then have to pivot as things get difficult with players in and players out. Ruben, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great. Coming in hot.
So
can Raul Ibanez replace Darius Slay?
Yeah,
or no?
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm wondering.
Exactly. But not get hurt in May or June. He was on fire.
Like
an MVP candidate.
My God.
Oh, it was the best he ever played in his career.
Yeah, he was awesome.
So, Rube, your two big ones, if I remember off the top of my head, that really contributed that were then gone, where Burrow was certainly number one, Pedro Feliz number two. I mean, Feliz was a starting third baseman, got the winning hit in the World Series. And then, obviously, you showed him the door for Polanco. And that was a real upgrade. I mean,
Ibanez,
Burrow, you can argue, based on different years and who had a better year in certain years. But Polanco is a better baseball player than Pedro Feliz. But you were in a non-capped league. Howie Roseman has a tough job, man.
Yep.
How tough is it, Ruben, when you got that many good players, you want to keep them? By the way, you know at times you've kept them too long. That was one of your things.
Correct.
So how do you attack this as a GM?
It's not easy, and you know it's very complicated. You know, compared to Major League Baseball because of the cap. But I have to say that you know you sort of have to deal with you know pulling at your heartstrings and also making sure that you do the right thing for the organization.
Yeah.
And it's not easy moving forward. But I think Howie's done a really good job of bringing some young people in and have had success doing it. And so he's not going to be afraid to allow young people to take over for, you know, veteran players who have had success here. And it's a tough one. Slay's a tough one because he's a good Philly-type guy.
Yeah.
And I think that the organization loves him. But, hey, you got to do with your head, not your heart.
And how much – I feel like we as an organization overcorrect. He's conscientious, so he's so aware and so self-scouted. They do tend to identify issues and say, okay, we're not going to make that mistake again. He has identified the issue as previously when we won it all, he gave too much credence to those Eagles died in the wool.
Who would be examples of
that? Guys.
So Peters would be an example. He wasn't
Jason
born.
Peters
he wasn't
definitely.
Born and raised here, but he'd been a long time Eagle, and they kept him way too long.
Sure.
Who else?
Fletcher Cox. For a moment, he came back at the end. But remember, we talked about Fletcher, and they gave him that new contract, and we were all upset about it. Do you remember that?
Well, he went. He dipped down.
A year where the production wasn't matching the pay.
I remember that.
And then his final year, he absolutely brought that back up.
Yeah.
But there was a year where it wasn't right.
Alshon at the end wasn't very good. No, injury had set in, but he really wasn't very good at the end. Carson also couldn't, you know, throw him the ball. It was a whole nother
matter.
One
of the things that becomes really difficult is how much does the player affect your clubhouse? How does he affect, you know, him not being there? How does it really affect your, you know, your locker room, whatever the case may be? And so you can't really, it's hard. It's almost immeasurable. And you have to sort of figure out that part of it as well, because if they really have a huge impact in there, it can change the way people go about their business on a daily, not just that player, but the other players around them.
That's why in football, with all the changes, it's so hard to maintain. And that's why you got to admire the Patriots and Chiefs and what they did. I'll give you one more from that era. Nigel Bradham Had a great 2017, if you remember. A lot of people thought he was going to be gone. James, remember everyone said he was going to be gone, and then they signed him, I think it was a $40 million deal. Mm-hmm. And I remember the hug in the hallway of the NovaCare when Doug found out Bradham was staying. Bradham and Doug had a hug. And I was like, yeah, they kept Nigel Bradham. This is awesome. He stunk after that.
Was it as good as the hug that Howie had with Vinnie Curry, was it? Who was the hug that Howie had?
I don't remember that.
There was one he had in the hallway.
I don't. So, look, it is a challenge. Look, you'd rather be in this spot than one of the bad teams. But there are challenges that come with being good. And, Ruben, I'll give you one more thing and then right to the phones. I mean, imagine a scenario where, because a lot of your best players were young in 08, okay? And then got contracts. Imagine a scenario where signing Ryan Howard in 2010 means you got to lose Roy Halladay.
That's it.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, yeah. Howie is like, all right, I choose Zach Baum, but I lose Milton Williams. I lose Josh Sweat. I lose Kenny Gainwell. I lose Mekhi Becton. That's brutal.
It's rough, and it's difficult, and it's way more complicated in the NFL than it is in MLB. I do not envy the decisions he has to make, because he's got, that's a great problem to have, because he's got good players to deal with.
Exactly. All right, to the phones we go. Your reaction on Darius Slay being gone. 215-592-9494. And do you trust Trey Turner to be the leadoff hitter? Do you just trust him in general? Zach in Medford. Hi, Zach.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today?
Doing great, Zach.
You know, it's another great morning that, once again, me and John Ritchie are of the same mind.
Smart man.
If foolishness is, you know, the way your brain likes to roll, then roll.
Hey, if this is foolishness, I'm perfectly fine with it.
All right, give me your point. What are you thinking here, Zach?
So I'm gonna do the Eagles first and then touch on the Phillies.
Sure.
I think John is right. I think we should be kind of comfortable in having Howie here. Ideally, we get Slay back, but I'm comfortable with Isaiah Rodgers, and if that doesn't happen, I'm sure Howie has a plan and contingency to make the cornerback position work. I'm not necessarily concerned that we're going to, you know, lose multiple free agents. I'm sure Howie has a plan and already an idea of the landscape of who's most likely going to stay, who's most likely going to go. I'm sure the cornerback position is a huge priority, as it's been in the past. I don't know. I'm not overly concerned whether Slay goes, Rodgers goes.
Man.
I'm pretty comfortable.
Zach, I think you're riding a little too high. I do. Like, I'm not saying don't cherish that Super Bowl, but I am saying don't let it obscure the reality that when you lose good players and play lesser players, you're likely to be a lesser team.
But you're not. I don't think you're properly weighing how great the draft was for cornerbacks by Howie last year here in Philadelphia.
I get it.
The fact that you got your first rounder and your very beginning of the second rounder locked in as starters who actually deserve to be starters.
But it was great having all three.
That's
my
defense.
My point is, I had three. I totally trust it. Now I have two. That's a difference.
And you potentially have the ability to re-sign and re-sign both Isaiah Rodgers and Darius Slay in this situation.
Well, they're not going to get them both.
That's a stretch.
It's one or the other at the most.
It's not impossible. But I do think, it's a matter of, will Slay come back for a lot cheaper, for a lot shorter than what his contract was about to say? Because remember, we saved $17.8 million in 2026 by cutting him. It's not just the $4.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little shocked when I saw the $4.3 million. I thought, that's serious stuff. Like, they really didn't want Slay around. I think they would bring him back for a reasonable 1 year, 2 year, whatever.
But here's the problem with that argument, John. They probably already negotiated and did not come to terms. That's why they
possibly
cut him. Definitely. That's why they cut him.
Well, Slay's going to keep his options open. I mean,
listen.
It's early.
Sometimes it's not that early, Ruben. 6 days from now, he can sign somewhere else. It's not that early.
I'm just saying, it's early for Slay. You don't have to sign.
Well, he doesn't. All right, Zach,
he's not in a hurry.
Zach, what do you got on the Phillies, buddy?
Just one, before I get to the Phillies, really fun complaint to have that we only have two confident cornerbacks.
You're so right, man. So true.
So for Phillies, I mean, I'm really disappointed that they didn't do anything significant to really shuffle the deck. I know Lizardo's a solid pull, but outside of that, we really need to mess with the lineup. I know Seltzer said that that's kind of a flawed way to kind of think of it. Personally, and I don't know how you guys think, I personally think Trey start, Bryson second, Harper third, and then cleanup should be Schwarber. I think
that's
that
three
gives
straight
the most
lefties.
Insurance.
Can't do that. Can't do it.
That's fair.
That will not happen.
Okay. The GM has spoken. He just said
that won't happen.
That will not happen.
Unless that bullpen has no lefties.
You're facing a righty starter. Who struggles against left-handed hitters?
That's always probable.
No, it's not going to happen.
Zach, give me an answer. An interesting celeb since 1974.
So I was considering either...
No, don't give me either. Give me a name.
I'm going to go with Iron Mike.
You know what? He is.
It's a good answer, actually. Yeah.
Tyson's a good answer. The People Magazine era. Who's the most interesting celeb? Tyson's a good answer.
Right. Wow.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Rube, best concert you ever saw was who?
I got to say, believe it or not, Luther Vandross.
Really?
Luther was so spectacular. I saw him here in Philly. Dude. I was a big fan.
Wow.
I mean, the man can croon. He can get it.
That's just because Ruben hasn't come to a fish show with me yet. It'll happen.
Dude,
that was a deep cut for me. Al Jarreau was my first one. I saw it at the Man.
No way.
That's
a deep cut Jimmy right there. Deep cut Jimmy.
Yeah, Isabella, baby.
No, Isabella. Deep.
Fish covers Isabella for what it's worth.
No way.
Yeah, they crush it.
My first concert was Billy Joel. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I don't know if you've seen Billy Joel in concert.
I just saw him last year. It was really fun.
Did he do the thing where he stood up on the grand piano? And he's probably getting
I don't think he did. Yeah.
A little too old. Where he was about to jump off backwards. It was really scary for everyone. Like, we really thought he was going to do it, but then he didn't do it. And then he almost did it, and then he didn't do it. I'm sure that as a 75-year-old or however
didn't do that.
No,
I did see Clapton in concert, though,
the audience
to
with
our
that.
Prize most... today. I saw Clapton in concert. I saw Cream before Ginger Baker and Jack Bruce died. Yeah.
That must
at MSG.
Been
it was unfreaking believable.
Most fun, though, was Billy Joel. Because I got to hang out backstage with him.
No.
Wow.
Billy Joel? What year was this?
What a flex.
When he was doing with Elton John, he was doing a... The duo.
You're backstage.
I saw that.
With
I saw that.
John?
I was actually in Tampa when he did it.
Wow.
You're backstage with Billy Joel and Elton John?
I didn't meet Elton John. I did meet Billy Joel and his whole crew. Awesome.
That's
awesome
cool.
Dudes.
Was he married at the time? Billy?
He was not married. He was not married. He was very not married.
Oh. You could tell he was unmarried?
It was fun. Oh, I could tell.
Oh.
It was entertainment.
How about that?
Because he would come off stage. So Elton would go, and then he'd come off, you know, and let Elton do his thing. He'd come and hang out and have a beer in between sets.
Mm.
And there I was with my good friend Charlie Nagy. It's when I was with the Cleveland
the former pitcher,
the
Charles
time.
Nagy? Yeah. Look
Charles
at you just
Nagy.
Dropping my good friend Charlie Nagy.
Look at this guy. Yeah.
Guy pitching in World Series back in the 90, no big deal.
Dude, I might be the most interesting.
I agree with that,
I've
actually.
I've been around a lot of interesting
people. Yeah, the problem is you're here now, and that's a problem
for you. It's not very interesting.
You're not interesting, Rube. You're the total package.
That's right.
Joe, before we move on, the best concert I ever saw, is just for you, was Prince.
Oh, for the love of God.
Nice.
I don't even waste
it. It was freaking unbelievable, dude.
Oh, my God. All right, we're looking for the most interesting celebrity. And most interesting celeb in the People Magazine era. Because on this date in 74, People Mag began. Most interesting celeb, whoever provides it, that person will win the tickets to see Clapton. A lot of talk today about the loss of Slay. Look, I think it's a problem. I mean, I know they could keep him, but I tend to think they probably will not keep him. I mean, they cut him yesterday. I mean, it's official June 1st, but he's gone. And so my reaction is this is what happens, and so it begins. You start losing good players. I mean, John, I was struck by the Jeff McLean grouping that he put together about a week or so ago when he said, here are my predictions, who stays and who goes. Now, remember, he has since amended this to say, all right, he probably should have had Zach Bond in the he stays category. So let's just flip for a moment. It's a little exercise. Let's just say we flip Milton Williams and Zach Bond because McLean has come out and said, all right, I think they're going to keep Zach Bond. So let's just say they keep Bond and lose Milton Williams.
Yeah.
In that scenario, here's who McClain had the Eagles losing. In that scenario, Milton Williams, Kenny Pickett, Kenny Gainwell, Darius Slay, Avante Maddox, Isaiah Rogers, Josh Sweat, Mekhi Becton, Brandon Graham. Ladies and gentlemen, you're a lesser team. That's tough, man.
Well, not necessarily. Depends who you add.
Oh, for the love of God.
Depends who you add.
It does, but what are the chances?
Well, why did you name every free agent?
I did.
There's a good chance that you bring back
here are the guys. This was the guys that we know could stay or go, and I'm not counting like the 53rd guy on the roster. Here are the notables that he has the Eagles keeping. Goddard, Britton Covey, Bryce Huff. And then in this case, Bond. That make you happy? I'm just saying, man.
Well, I disagree with them.
Okay, you can disagree all you want, but know this. They're going to lose more good players than they get, and Darius Slay is an example. So, yeah, I'm concerned because, and this is why Dynasty
They're not
talk,
necessarily losing Darius Slay.
Well, they are as of now.
They're not necessarily losing his backup, who Isaiah Rogers, who ably filled in often.
Well, to be fair, they don't have Isaiah Rogers anymore. They have to get him back.
They have to pay him, and I think that that is a very doable situation.
Yeah. I really think the turnover is an important thing. I think you have to have some turnover, and because I think it keeps things fresh. I think it makes guys hungrier, and you just never know how people will, like, advance. Like, can Ringo really advance?
I don't know. But I know this. If it's not him, it's someone else on the outside who will probably be somewhat cheap. All right, look, your reaction on all of this. Slay gone.
I know that we have an incredible advantage knowing exactly who our nickel cornerback is, and Quinyon Mitchell is locked in on the outside.
So we got
two guys, and then we've got Isaiah Rogers, who's really solid. He's a restricted free agent, so that means whatever he is offered, he brings back to the Eagles, and they say, we will match that, or we will allow you to leave.
That's right.
And if you do leave, we get a comp pick anyway. So these comp picks really do matter.
I know, but they don't help. But they don't help next year.
But that's how you build a team.
I know.
And this team has been built it's just so solid. The foundation is so solid that I don't worry so much about these specifics.
Okay.
I know. I feel good about the fact that the Eagles saved essentially $22 million by cutting Darius Slay over the next 2 years. That's good team building. So Howie is doing the right thing. It's not out of the question that Darius Slay doesn't come back. He might be back on a smaller deal for less time. And it's also possible that they choose Isaiah Rogers instead of Darius Slay.
Look, it is possible. We'll take your reaction. What is your reaction to Slay being gone, at least for now, probably for all time, but who knows? We'll see. Also, we'll get to some comments Howie Roseman made recently. And we'll play some audio of Darius Slay, some through-the-years audio of some of Slay's funnier and wittier stuff. We'll get to all that. Let's get to Lou right now. Lou, good morning.
Great to talk to you guys. Haven't talked to you since you went to the morning show.
Wow.
Whoa.
Great to talk to you. Yeah. And Rhea, I haven't talked to you in like 10 years. Oh. So good to talk to you, too.
Well, thank you for coming back to us.
Of course. I think Slay is gone. He's 34. You don't want to be sentimental. That was... said it himself after the last Super Bowl.
He did.
He made
I will
that
say,
point.
Slay's growth as a leader over the last couple years, I really noticed. You know, he was like, remember last year he was throwing guys under the bus. This year he's got two rookie corners saying how much of a leader he is. So it's borderline if he's in the Eagles Hall of Fame. Is Malcolm Jenkins in the Eagles Hall of Fame?
He'll have to be in it, and he should be in it. He was the leader of that team. So
yeah.
He'll be in it, but
how
it's
how long was he here?
It's a similar number of years. He was
a little longer. I think he was 13 to like 19
was he 13?
Or 20. Yeah, because he wasn't even Chip's first year. It might have been 14, I guess. It was
somewhere
13
in there.
Or 14.
Yeah, I would say probably a year longer than Slay if I had to guess, but it's about the same.
Yeah, he was a captain, so that does carry some weight. So I do think it's borderline. They got to keep Bond for sure, so I think he's the only one they keep. He's special, and I think he won't break the bank as in terms of other guys that have gotten deals in the past. Maybe some guys might be like it's, or teams might say it's just the Eagles system, and he's only done it 1 year, but we'll see. And then for Trey Turner, here's the thing. Do I trust Trey Turner? I don't think we have a choice. That's a problem. I would bat him lead off.
Well, they don't have a choice but to play him. But part of the trust thing is, do you lead him off? Because that's the guy that gets to bat the most.
But yeah, getting him going, 338 on base percentage is not going to cut it. But if we can get him going,
I mean, think about this, Lou. His total compensation for his contract was almost higher than his on base percentage.
Damn it!
Think about that for a second.
And I just think we have to trust him. We got to get him going. If he's the Trey Turner of old, and I know that's going to be hard to get back to, you know, 2019 numbers, but that really will.
Well, it would make a huge difference. That's why I think he's the most important fill this year. Lou, give me an answer here for the Eric Clapton tickets. Who's the most interesting celebrity in this People magazine era?
I was racking my brain. I don't really know, but I do like Matthew McConaughey. I think he's an interesting guy.
He is an interesting guy.
Sure does seem interesting.
Yeah, he's interesting. I agree with that.
So what's going on with you've seen the commercials with him and Woody Harrelson, right?
I have, and I like them.
Have you heard the rumors also that they share, that they might be family, they might be brothers?
What
does that mean?
His mother or something. His mother?
Brother from another mother.
There's something confusing about those two and their history, and the mother commented.
His mother started the rumor.
Really? Does it relate to Woody's dad being a killer?
Which is crazy. A serial killer,
Really? Woody's dad was a serial killer.
Yeah, he was in Natural Born Killers as a serial killer, which is crazy to think about.
It is crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about those guys.
I mean, I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. Is some of this stuff invented by agents and things like that. I mean, I don't know what's real and what's not in some cases.
Yeah,
But
you're a rumor spreader. I like it. Spread rumors. Ruben, this is what we do on WFP. We just spread rumors.
I'm repeating a rumor that I heard that I find incredibly intriguing, because now I'm seeing all these commercials where those two are in the commercial and they're yelling across the street to one another, "Hey, brother! What's up with that, man?" They're now reinforcing the brother thing at another level.
Now it makes more sense.
Well, clearly there's some
what's
fact
going
based.
On.
It's fact-based.
Okay,
maybe. The fact is the mother said that she used to hang out with his father back in the day, and they joked about having to take DNA tests.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
All right. All right. 215-592-9494. You're not kidding. By the way, Jalen Hurts Day tomorrow. We honor Jalen tomorrow, which is another way to say people can lambast me tomorrow. Jalen stepped up in a massive way, obviously, near the end of the year, and didn't turn the ball over almost for the entirety of the year. It was a weird season, but it was one where clearly I was wrong about some stuff, clearly. Right about some stuff, by the way, as well, but wrong about some stuff. And we'll give people a chance tomorrow to just whack away, and we'll see. I'll feel like Ruben around. Ruben, what was the worst of it for you? 2014? 2015?
13, 14.
Ruben's got a little bit of a smile.
Was a little rough.
He's got the corners of the mouth are a little upturned today.
Let me ask you a question.
Looking forward to tomorrow.
Do you, Billy King, Ed Wade, help me out here, James, Rhea, help me out. Daryl Morey. Do you guys all ever get together, Howie in 2020? Do you guys ever commiserate and say, Rich Kotite? And say
Ed Stefanski.
No, Ed doesn't have a right to commiserate about anything.
Do you guys ever get together and wallow in your?
I've been in Ed Stefanski's presence a few times. We haven't wallowed, but Billy King a little bit. We chat a little bit.
Yeah,
Billy's great, man.
Billy's a great guy.
There is a bonding that occurs.
I think there was when I was a GM. I tried to sort of bring some people together. Paul Holmgren and Howie and some others. It was cool. Listen, we're all sort of in the same boat trying to do the same thing, and it's not the easiest city in the world. There's a lot of demands on it, and there's a lot of expectations. And
the only one I was afraid of was Paul Holmgren.
In what sense?
You should be.
No, just afraid of him.
Well, he's a hockey player.
Yeah, no, just the way he looks.
I know.
He would just look sometimes. I'm like, I'm not messing with him.
He's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's a really
a good guy.
He's a good piece, man.
All right, so speaking of good guys, Howie talked with Todd McShay on Todd McShay's show about looking for players who are good people, but also looking for people who are mentally tough. So he had already kind of rolled it out that, and I've heard him say this before, he loves his wife, but he wouldn't want his wife to play for the Eagles in the sense that you got to have talent as a player. So it's not just about all who's a good person. You got to be really talented. But he also wants people who are very mentally tough. And clearly, that was a hallmark of this team this year, and not always a hallmark of Eagles teams. Listen to Howie talking to Todd McShay.
We are going to have adversity, whether you and I have it with our jobs and how it affects our life, or during the course of the season. I mean, we were 2-2. We went into the bye week coming off a 1-6. So, what were we? 3-8 over our last 11 games. And everyone was burying us. And that week, that bye week, everyone got together and said, all right, we have too good of a team. We have too many good people. How are we fixing it? And it wasn't like, your fault, your fault, your fault. It was like, we got to fix this.
Yeah.
It's too good of an opportunity. And I think that if you don't have the right people, that comes into finger pointing. And that comes into, it ain't my fault. You know, you got to fix this. You got to fix this. And when I look back at our season, that moment, and you go into this, and you know this, you go into the season, you go, week 5 bye. Gosh, it's freaking still warm and freaking Philly.
Yeah.
Even if I wanted to go away, it's going to be the same weather wherever I go away. Like, this stinks, you know? It was the best thing that happened to us.
Look, it's so true. I mean, that's what Sirianni talks about when he talks about dog mentality. Digging down. Dig down. Not easy, though, when you're going through struggles. John, you know what is really a striking thing? Hearing him reference that 3-8, and that's what they were for that stretch at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. Guys, let me...
The way that he's framing it in even worse, in an even worse capacity than I considered before, it was dire.
So that's the thing about the 2-2 looking back, is that it did feel attached to the prior year.
Yeah.
So listen to this. James, give me your reaction to these three stretches. These are facts. These are what the Eagles have gone since 2022. I'm counting all playoff games. I'm not counting preseason games. Here we go. Since 2022, they went 26-5. Then they went 3-8. Then they went 16-1. Rhea, how's that possible? How do you go from the start of 22, 26-5, 3-8, 16-1? How do you do that?
I need a 30 for 30 on that collapse. Especially in light of how they turned it around.
We still don't know.
I mean, 41-6 if you take out the 3-8.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Ruben, is that wild, man?
It's incredible.
It's actually incredible.
It is incredible.
It is.
I think it was a defensive total break.
That was part of it.
Defensive break.
Which, you know, is part of my fear of, all right, so they've lost Slay. They're probably going to lose Milton Williams. They're probably going to lose Slay. Like, I'm just telling you guys, like, never lose the DVR of that Super Bowl. Doesn't mean the Eagles can't win another one, but winning it like that, probably never going to happen again.
It's almost impossible to go back-to-back.
Guys, that was a pre-salary cap Super Bowl. That was, my team is so much better than you. It almost looked like the salary cap didn't exist in that Super Bowl. And now things set in. I know it did. But now you start losing people.
That's what happens when you draft the way that Howie did.
You're right.
When you pick your two starting cornerbacks in the draft that year,
in the first
and second round, it really gives you more flexibility.
All right,
also changing a coordinator, and that's a big deal.
That was a big one.
That's a big deal, too.
Fangio did a great job. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Rick in Easton right now. Good morning, Rick.
Just hit the nail on the head. You fed the Georgia Bulldogs a steady diet of Vic Fangio and the two corners. End of story.
Well, end of that story, but now you got to feed them again. You got to give them more players.
I'm sure you do, but that's what made it so incredible. Okay, so here's my whole slant on this Trey Turner thing. I totally agree that he has to be held accountable, but we have to also stop. You may not agree with me, Joe, and I'm okay with that. We have to stop giving. He's a $300 million man. We have to stop giving the $350 million Harper, the Pat Burrell Mulligan. Nobody in this city ever got away with...
Wait a minute. What did Harper do wrong? He had a bad at-bat in the sixth inning of that Mets game. He had a great series.
Joe, you're living in the past. Stop living with the bedlam in the bank.
Hold on, let me just say, Rick.
Atlanta. You got to hold him.
Okay, hold on.
Continue to hold him to the fire.
Rick, hang on. I'm just going to ask you a question. What did he do wrong that you think merits criticism?
I want to see better numbers. He wants to be paid like Ohtani. He wants to be paid like Judge. I want to see Judge and Ohtani numbers out of him.
I mean, listen, man, he's really amazing, Rick. And if he's not top...
Stop giving him a mulligan. Jalen Hurts' butt was held at a fire. Look what happened. Sirianni's butt was held at a fire. Look what happened. We're Philadelphia. You got to start holding him more accountable. That's all.
Look, here's the only spot I'll agree with you, Rick. The only spot I'll agree with you is the base running stuff. I've been very critical of him. I think rightfully so. I think there are times he doesn't run hard, and I think there are times he runs dumb, and both irritate the hell out of me. But I mean, other than that, I think this guy has been phenomenal, and it's a lot more than just Bedlam at the Bank. It's a lot more than just the 2021 MVP. I mean, last year he had a great postseason. It was short. It was only four games. But I mean, I think his slugging percentage was .750. I mean,
this year, is there a way that he can lift those around him somehow?
I mean, what am I missing, Rick?
I don't know what else he can do.
Yeah,
Rick.
What am I missing, Rick?
I really don't. But I understand what you're saying. I think your best players need to play their best. I think he did. I think he has had a knack for timely play when it matters the most. He can't be perfect.
Rick, tell me what I'm missing. I'm just curious.
No one can be perfect. I agree with the base running. You can't go 27 games without a home run. That kind of stuff has to stop. And you know what? Go in the two-hole because, Ruben, you know it. The era of your best hitter hitting third, that ship has sailed. Aaron Judge leads off and hits second. Otani hits second. Put Harper in the second hole and play the game with him. And, yes, Turner has to deliver. And you know what? He didn't run because he got hurt last year. He has to run. He has to run bases or this team's in trouble.
Well, Rick, that last part.
That last part is huge.
I agree with that.
No question.
I agree with that. And I agree with Harper has to hit. You ready for this? Where he is freaking told to hit.
Well, thank you.
Period.
Topper.
Exactly.
Topper.
Yeah. So
Topper,
Rick,
doesn't get enough criticism. I'm with Rick on that.
Yeah, Rick, I'm with you on that too. I'm with you on that too. But I do think you're undervaluing the incredible value he brings to the team.
He brought us incredible value. He has to continue, and I agree with what you're saying.
All right, Rick, give me an answer, my man. In this People magazine era, which began in 1974, who's the most interesting celebrity?
Kanye West.
It's not how you pronounce his name.
Kanye
West.
Yeah, okay.
I'm guessing.
No, he's a complete nut.
It's a horrible answer.
Yeah, he's not interesting. He's just a loser, an idiot.
Thank you, James.
Kanye West, not Keanu Reeves.
Not a fan.
So not Keanu Reeves.
He was somewhere between.
Keanu would have been a good answer.
Yeah,
Reeves. Okay.
I really like
him. All right. Speaking of answers, Darius Slay gave us a lot of answers through the year. So we're you know, today I'm lamenting the loss of Darius Slay. Of course, it's possible he could stay if they.
He sure could,
but I don't think it's likely to occur. With that said, let's pay some tribute to Darius Slay with some of his funnier and wittier. And we don't have them all. Wechter's trying to dig them up today, but some things through the years that have stood out. One thing that has obviously stood out about Darius Slay, much like the Hammer, a very confident guy.
Take no matchup lightly, but he is one of the best in the world. And shoot, I'm one of the best in the world too, so I was looking forward to the matchup.
I love it.
Let's rip and run fast here with a couple. Here's another Darius Slay.
Man, look here, I'm probably the sexiest guy on earth. If not one, I'm two. And the only reason I'm two is because I got my little youngin, I just had my newborn. He's sexy too, so I'll get him first spot.
This guy, man.
Yeah, that's a strange place to take it.
I love the tude.
But really
it
funny. Really
it
funny.
It was a little strange.
Look, he brings personality.
I think you can do that when it's your infant.
Well,
you know,
sure.
Talking about the sexiness of the infant.
Well, yeah, that's okay. But he's also saying other than zero-year-olds, he's the sexiest guy in the world.
I guess.
That's what he said. All right, here's another one. You know, I always enjoyed, except when I was irritated with things he would say when the Eagles were losing, but the way he would speak was kind of funny. I always enjoyed hearing him speak.
You know, he just looked like a swole Batman. Y'all cannot tell me he looked like a swole Batman. Devontae is a skinny Batman. Quez is a fast Batman. So we got three Batmans on the team, but we got one swole, one skinny, one fast.
All right, Derek. Kind of funny.
I like it.
How the Quez.
Would it be Batman?
Batman, there's no fast Batman anymore. Like, that's the funny part about this.
Who,
Quez? We forgot about. Yeah, the Quez. Yeah. He was at the inception of the Batman thing. He didn't make it through.
Well, he could run. No. The problem is he couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah, just not good enough at the
catch
football
it.
Part.
All right,
running.
Here's another from Darius Slay.
No Robins. We don't got no backups. No Robins. We got no sidekicks. We got nothing but Batmans. You know what I'm saying? They boys fly. Letting it fly. They fly.
But Batman doesn't fly.
One more. Yeah.
You know that, right?
I do know that. One more from Darius Slay. He's talking about personnel, who's on the field. He's got the ball. This is pretty funny.
I knew I was going because the fact that I knew
it was like 13 personnel, so it had nothing but fat guys out there. So I'm like, I caught the ball. I said, oh, man, it's only about 13, so nothing but these big guys. They ain't catching me. I'm going. I'm like, I'm going to return it every time.
Darius Slay, ladies and gentlemen. God bless him. God
you
bless
know, that's,
him.
That's one back says and three tight ends.
He yeah, says what's, yeah, what, yeah, what, yeah. what's on his mind.
Yeah.
All right, so we have two different Twitter poll questions of the day today, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. By releasing Darius Slay, which will be designated as a post-June 1 designation, the Eagles save about $4.5 million on this year's salary cap. Now, they do still have the chance to retain him. They got to negotiate with him, but they've had that chance to negotiate with him already. And pulling the lever to choose to cut him means they probably won't keep him. They could, but probably won't. And we already knew it was going to be hard with how many good players the Eagles have to retain and how limited their money is. So if he's gone, we ask you this question. Is Darius Slay going to make the Eagles Hall of Fame? It's a tough standard. It's a tough. Who was the last guy to get in, LeSean? It's the team's leading rusher.
Maybe.
It's a tough standard.
Who was the last cornerback?
Well, let's see. Eric Allen made it. And have Troy and Bobby T made it? I'd have to look that up.
I think Bobby T did.
I mean, I got to imagine Troy's in. I would hope Bobby T's in. He was a starter for, I think, 10 or 11 years.
Yeah.
So we'll check that out. But is Darius Slay an Eagles Hall of Famer, yes or no?
Somebody brought up something interesting in the responses to your poll question.
What's that?
Nick Foles is in the Hall of Fame, Eagles Hall of Fame.
It is or?
Is. I believe
no,
so.
No, he's not in. No.
Oh, he's not in yet?
No,
oh, okay.
He'll get in, but he's not in yet.
Oh, maybe that was they were asking if he was in.
He is not in yet.
So you have no problem with him going in.
Has to be in. He was a starting quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, has to be. MVP. Yeah.
But last year was they honored him upon his retirement.
Got it.
They'll get to that, you know, in a couple of years. And look, they got a lot to do. They got to do Doug. They got to do Andy at some point. They got to do Malcolm, Lane, Kelsey.
Yes.
Brandon Brooks will be interesting. Brandon Brooks, to me, is in the Darius Slay category. It wasn't here that long. Probably, that was probably, 2016 through about 2020?
No, it wasn't that long. I don't think it was.
Well, we can look it up.
You're right.
But they got a lot to do. Then there's the, does Deshaun get in? I mean, Zach Ertz has to get in.
Yeah, I mean, like Ertz, Kelsey's going to get in, obviously.
Does
like,
Brent Celek get in? That's borderline.
Borderline, but he was here a long time.
Fletcher
Cox is going to get in.
Fletcher Cox.
I mean, BG's going
to
get in.
You're going to need to build another building.
That was why I said no initially. Yeah. It's not that I don't think Slay's deserving. Yeah. It's just that there are so many guys. I think it's going to like fill up.
I don't think Brent Celek is borderline.
You think he's a no?
No, I think he's a yes.
Yes.
I think he's a solid, yes.
I got him in.
Okay, listen, I'd love to see Brennan. All right, so is Slay an Eagles Hall of Famer, yes or no? Second poll question, how many of the big four Eagles free agents, and we know them, of course, to be Bond, Becton, Milton Williams, and Josh Sweat, how many of them are they going to be able to keep? Zero through three or four. Her final choice is three or four. We know they're not keeping four. But zero, one, two, or three or four, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on
I can do two Twitter. When we go that way. I do think Bond will
get a
be
shot.
Kept. I do think Isaiah Rodgers,
but he's not the
not
big
on
four.
The list.
No,
he's not big, but he's not little.
Look, I'll just tell you this, James. I said it earlier.
He's
if Isaiah Rodgers is as good as people say he is when he gets a chance to start, he could make more money than Bond.
It's possible.
He's a cornerback who's in his mid-20s. I mean, if you tell me there's a corner in his mid-20s who's going to be a starter for the next 5 years, he might make more money than Bond, which, by the way, might mean he's bye-bye.
And a year off, so
bye-bye.
Less wear and tear on his body, too.
And I'm not saying bye-bye in a good way. You're right, Rhea. Like, it's a shame. I mean, I want to keep all these guys. Can't do it.
You don't want Zach Bond.
I do. I do want Zach Bond. Problem is, I want them all. Yep. John right now and Kate May. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great, John.
Darius Slay, I like him a lot, but until Malcolm Jenkins gets in, he shouldn't get in.
No, Malcolm will definitely get in. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah. I'm not certain about Slay. What I think will happen, though, is Detroit had so many injuries. It would not surprise me if he just goes back to Detroit.
Yeah, it's a real possibility, man.
Yeah. I mean, he came from there, drafted by them. They had a lot of injuries. It makes sense. And they're going to make another run in the Super Bowl.
Well, look, also, if you're – and here's the other thing I'd say, John. If you're Darius Slay and you went through much of your career in Detroit stinking, not as a player but as a team. Do you really want your last year to be, you know, 5-12? You know, like
I would think
Detroit is very appealing. Look, he talked about it on the record while he was still an Eagle. He talked about he might go back to Detroit.
Yeah, that one surprised me. As far as the Eagle, Phillies and Trey Turner and all of that, you know, I was reminded on the radio recently, going back to the Dallas Green era, and I know Topper's not Dallas Green, but in the middle of a playoff pennant race, Bob Boone and two other Phillies were benched because they were not hitting and playing the way that Dallas Green wanted them.
Phillies also had good backups. Keith Moreland and Lonnie Smith were good backups, so that's part of it, but go ahead.
Right, but my point is, Topper, look, I know there are no Dallas Greens in baseball anymore. I get it. But that philosophy, I feel like we need that on this Phillies team a little bit. So I'm going to go in, kick some rear end, and, you know, stop treating Trey Turner and these guys. You know, Castellanos, too, drives me crazy.
I agree, John. I agree.
So he didn't sit Bohm.
He did, but it's only one time that we know of that there was that. What about the at-bats in August that stunk and saying to a guy, play better tomorrow or I'm sitting your ass for 2 days? And it's going to be a public thing.
I mean, he sat some guys.
Not enough.
Guys, there's a difference between sitting one guy one time and sitting three guys at the same time. Sit them.
Well, maybe that's too disruptive if you sit three guys at the same time.
It's way too disruptive. You've gone off the handle there.
But John's point is make a point. You know, like, John, you're saying seek out the uncomfortable to force it upon them, which I agree with you. And, John, I'll say this. I wonder with it potentially being Rob Thompson's last year, if they lose in the playoffs, particularly early, then he could be fired, and I do wonder if he'll have a different approach this year, knowing that his back may be up against the wall. That is possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, John, give me an interesting celebrity. Last 51 years, the most interesting celeb.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being more interesting since this person crossed both movies and athletics and bad, good guy, because you said it could be bad. O.J. Simpson.
O.J. is an interesting celeb.
Yeah. Yes.
Really interesting.
I mean, Ruben, is the juice? Two questions, Ruben. Number one, is the juice going to be the winning answer for most interesting celeb? Number two, juice. And I was so tempted the day after he died to do this Twitter poll. Juice, heaven or hell?
Oh, hell, dude.
Just asking.
Hell. Hell,
he's a murderer.
That's not my
what are we doing? He's a murderer.
I'm just asking. Forgiveness. Yeah. Forgiveness is part of, you know.
Forgiveness.
I'm just asking.
Murder.
And then, his neck.
And then he wrote a book about how he would have done it if he had done
I'm
it.
Just like asking. Don't get mad at me.
Inner circle of hell.
It's a all dumb right. question, Joe. I just want to
could
point
you
that out.
Could you imagine if we had done that poll? OJ.
Heaven, no, I would not have let you do that. No.
Heaven, hell, or choice C. There is no heaven or hell.
Come on.
All right, let's go to Mike. He's calling from Douglasville. I feel like we haven't heard from Mike in a while. What's going on, man?
Yeah, so I haven't talked to you guys since before the playoff run. So first off,
why?
I just want to say go Birds.
Go Birds,
Mike. Go Birds. Are you all right? Is everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. I just haven't had the opportunity to call.
Good.
But I want to throw this out there because I want to piggyback off a previous caller with the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, what it's going to come down to is, keep in mind, I love Bryce Harper. I have a feeling he is going to be the reason the Phillies do not win the World Series, and here is why.
Wow.
When Rhys Hoskins went down, he made a sacrifice to come back early, rehab as strong as he could so that way he could play first base. And what did that cause? Rhys Hoskins to not come back. What was the conversation two seasons ago? We need a stronger outfield as far as production-wise hitting, and we also need a right-handed power bat. If Bryce Harper would have went back to the outfield and we re-signed Hoskins, who did not sign much for much with the Brewers, so it was doable, Rhys Hoskins would have gave us a power bat, and we could have Harper in the outfield. Now, you look at this lineup and how it's going right now. Think about this top four lineup. You have Trey Turner batting leadoff, Bryce Harper in the two-hole, Rhys Hoskins being the power bat right-handed who's protecting Harper, and then you have Schwarber. That would have been absolutely dominant. And I, once again, I love Harper.
I'm very torn on this one, Mike. Let me tell you why. So I think you bring up a lot of good points. Here to me is where it gets tricky. So Rojas was 2 years younger at the, or 1 year younger, 1 year younger at the time. The organization believed in him more probably than they do now because we've seen him fail more since then. But you got to remember, he was a pretty big prospect. And so the idea was, and these aren't crazy talk ideas, the idea was get younger, cheaper, so you can sign other people because they don't have an unlimited budget. This is part of how you keep Wheeler and Nola. You didn't re-sign Reese. Younger, cheaper, faster, and better defensively, which are all important. So now it stinks that Rojas stunk up the joint. That stinks. That really hurt. And has set a domino effect where they're still scrambling in the outfield. But I just want to start with that. Here's what I'll say, Mike. If Bryce is unwilling to play the outfield and capable, and there's a difference, because I don't know a year ago or a year and a half ago if they viewed him as capable of playing the outfield, you know, after that rehab. I don't know. I legitimately don't know. But if he is considered medically cleared and capable and unwilling, that would bother me.
And here's also another fix. If Harper is willing to go back to the outfield, here's another if.
Okay.
To solve the Rojas problem. If Harper is willing to go to the outfield, maybe that changes the mindset of, say, Trey Turner. Maybe Trey Turner goes to center field and we don't have an issue, so your biggest issue would be then, because then you would move Stott to shortstop, where I'm highly confident in the fact that I'm pretty sure that's what his natural position was, not second. Your biggest issue then would be who plays second.
Look, so leaders got to establish the tempo. Second. Leaders, and I think Joel's an example of a leader establishing the wrong tempo. And if these things about Bryce are true, and I don't know that they are, but if they are, I think you have an interesting theory. I believe that.
Playing it out in my head, if you go from right to left, you go Harper, Turner, Castellanos, you got Reese at first, say Sosa at second, Stott at short, and Boehm at third with JT catching, that just seems so dominant. And I just don't understand. Like, I get it. We make a lot of money. We can make our own decisions and everything like that. But somebody's got to be the adult in the room and just tell these guys, listen, we understand you like this spot. But this is what benefits the team. And
Mike,
part of what frustrates me, it's what makes it hard to get excited.
Okay. Very fascinating call. Mike, give me an answer. Since People Magazine debuted in 74, who's the most interesting celebrity? You can win tickets to see Eric Clapton.
Rhea, I mean this in all respect to women, but I do not understand how this man pulls the women he does. But Pete freaking Davidson.
Oh, my God. You are, I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't think he's that funny. The tattoos, like, they're just too much.
Don't do it.
No disrespect meant to Spike Eskin.
Is he a fan? Oh, it's tattoos. Yeah, I don't get the Pete Davidson thing one bit. No.